Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Hey, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Pulse FM and the Studio DNA Podcast Network present What Else with Corey Mann. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or visit the archives on Apple, Spotify, or Google Play. Part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network.
The year was 1984, April the 5th, when Philip David Wickham arrived on planet Earth with three chords and the truth.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
You landed on the planet and the song Footloose by Kenny Loggins was playing over and over, over again in America.
That's so interesting you say that, because just maybe 4 days ago, I was hanging out with some friends, me and my wife, and they were all saying, what's your birth song? And I'm like, we're all like, what are you talking about? They're like, the song that was on the top of the charts when you were born, everybody should know that. And I'd never even thought to do it. So we looked up me and my kids and everybody I know, because it's kind of interesting. It's very telling of the time that you were born in. My kids were like, I think one of them had Katy Perry Roar, you know, another one had an Adele song.
I have been to San Diego, California twice, and I loved every single minute of it. Is it as great as I've got built up in my head?
I think it's the best place in the world. So, I mean, for me, I'm very thankful for this country we have with all its ups and downs and crazinesses. It's a great, very free place to live and lots of opportunity here. And so then in America, if I could choose any place that I've been to so far, and I have been to every state, but obviously not every town of every state, you know, but this is the North Coast of San Diego County is my favorite spot in the world.
You were one of the first artists I met when I entered Christian radio. I'd been in mainstream for a while. And so you, to me, were the introduction of artists and radio stations that would have relationships. And you'd come by and you'd present new songs. And we sat in this very room. It was different back then. It's been upgraded. But you were playing me some songs that you were very excited about from Heaven and Earth.
Yeah, I remember. I actually remember it very well. But yeah, Heaven and Earth, man, what a special time in my life. I'd just been married. I grew up in a Christian home, knowing about heaven, knowing about Jesus my whole life. But yeah, that was like a pivotal moment in my life where a lot of stuff I hadn't quite kind of figured out or settled in my faith. There's a lot of things with understanding for the first time. I think marriage played a huge part in that. But one of them was the idea of eternity and of heaven. And I'd read this book called Heaven by Randy Alcorn that blew my mind. And it was this biblically based idea of the new heaven and new earth and what's awaiting our future and what does the Bible say? And let's put all the pieces together. And I was so blown away. So I was probably more excited than I should have been when I was singing those songs to you, because God had been lighting up my heart with the idea of eternity. And it's amazing as you focus on eternity and the promises of Jesus and what he has in store and all the little bits and pieces you can put together. It does be, you'd think it would just make you, you know, run to your house and lock the door and just wait for it to come, you know, but it does the opposite. It makes you realize that heaven can be now, you know, and with love and generosity and acts of kindness and just bringing the kingdom of God here. And so the whole idea of the kingdom of God is now and not something we're just waiting for was like, it ignited my heart. And so I apologize these 10 years later for being way too excited about those songs.
The fullness of your grace is here with me. The richness of your beauty is all I see. The brightness.
my heart and my hands to show my love, to show my love.
In preparation to talk to you, I did go back all the way to the beginning. I'm such a fan of your body of work, and I've followed you since that time. But I went back to the first record, and it got me thinking, when was the last time you went back to the first record?
Wow. Years. It's been a long time. There'll be moments where one of the songs will pop up, and this Apple Music library is playing in the car. Some demo from back then will even pop up, and just be like, oh my goodness. And what a great, it's fun because it's fun to listen to music. And honestly, there's a few songs that I'd still be like, man, I would put this on a record now, which that's, 16 years ago. I feel like that's like a good sign for those songs back then. But what it really brings back is all the emotions and situations and that time of my life. It really does feel like journal entries. That first record, I was becoming best friends. I wasn't even dating my wife yet, but we were becoming best friends. But there's also this other dude involved, and like he was trying to get in on, he wanted to date her. And so there's all the, I remembered all that story, and then also like first signing of my first record deal, and just kind of like the bigness of that, and my dad being out in Nashville with it. Just, that was a real, real special time in my life. I'd lived in my parents' house. I was 21 when that record came out. So up until that record came out, I was living with my parents. And so then I moved out to Nashville for about 6 months to work on the record. And it was just fun. It's just definitely the next step in life. I'm a big believer. And if you don't want to listen, if you're making music and when you're done, you don't want to listen to it, at least for a little bit, then you should be making different music, because you should make music that you want to listen to. You should make music you're excited about. So I still like making a record and work, because you put so much time and effort and, okay, it's not right. Let's keep pushing. Okay, this song is supposed to be done, but now that I'm listening to it again, the second verse is just horribly written. We got to rewrite the whole thing. All those moments, just learning, it's the heartache of like, okay, why isn't it right yet? All those, and then working past it to get to the place of like, I love this song, So when you're holding it in your hand, or even when it's someone sends you the Dropbox of the master file, that's kind of the equivalent now, because I don't know, I'm trying to think if I ever, I'm sure I held a Living Hope record in my hand, but not many times. But it's just seeing the finished product, whether it's in your hand or in a Dropbox file. And then probably for the next 2 weeks after I get that finished product, I listen to it so much. I'm out on a run listening to it. Every time I'm in the car, I'm listening to it. I'm showing it to anybody who will give an ear. I'm like so annoying with it. And then about 2 weeks later, I just get sick of it, and I'll probably never listen to it again in my life. That's what I don't think I've listened to the first record, Cannons, Heaven and Earth, Response. I just listened to Living Hope all the way through again, because I'm working on the record, a new record now. Living Hope is my last one. And just was kind of comparing like the vibe of that one with where we're going in the new one. But I haven't listened to any of those old records all the way through in years.
I challenge you, Phil Wickham, to listen to that first record before October. I challenge
you. Okay. I will do it.
I will say this as a statement to you, not as a question. I'll say it as a statement. The music holds up. That was my big takeaway, was sonically, this thing can run with the bulls as well as today. But here's my question, and maybe you having to listen to this, you may have a different answer, but has theology changed at all since that first record? You wrote about something, and you take a listen to it now, or you're remembering right now, you're like, it's changed in 17 years.
Maybe I wouldn't say it that way anymore, kind of thing.
Yeah.
For sure, my understanding of the big things probably hasn't changed much. Which by big things I mean, we are sinners in need of a savior. God became human flesh. His name is Jesus. He showed us what it means to truly be human. And he said, you can follow my footsteps. All those big things. Follow my footsteps as well. He went to the grave on our behalf. He died. All those big things. That hasn't changed for me, you know. He's the only way, the truth, and the life. I think the biggest thing that has changed in my mind, I'm curious. I would like to go back and read some of those lyrics and listen and wonder, like, I wouldn't say that anymore. I'm curious if I would. But if I was to say internally, if anything's changed, I don't know if I would say theology as much as just, I think, experience and becoming a husband, becoming a dad, realizing how human we all are, realizing how we're all just trying to make it together. I think that there's a huge more amount of grace in the way I see people and the way I see the world and the way I see myself. I think there's a lot of legalism in my heart, kind of like a lot of, you know, I think a lot of things probably seemed a lot more black and white back when I was 21. Of like, that's wrong, this is right, or that's not the way, this is the way, or that church got it right, this church has it wrong, you know. And now I think there's way more grace and way more room for me to not have all the answers, you know. If anything, that's what's changed, is I've just seen God work in so many different ways through so many different people and situations where I've just seen the grace of God is so much bigger than I realized. And I think that it's been a really freeing thing over the last decade and a half, just to let that inform the way I view the Father, the way I read the Bible, the way I see myself in his eyes. You know, it's not this like box checking kind of approval situation with us and God, you know, but the starting point with me and God is that he loves me and he wants me. And that's not a place I need to work to get to.
What's it like knowing that there are Phil Wickham songs out there that have been translated into multiple languages being sung around the planet?
Cuando pele de rodillas lore, mis manos abstare. Oh, Dios, la batalla tuya.
Little battle belongs in Spanish for you.
Wow.
I literally just sang that a couple weeks ago. It's amazing. It's maybe because it's newer for me that to see that happening. It's kind of the most exciting. You know, I think our world is becoming more global and we're more aware of what's going on out there. I can open Instagram and Google, and hashtag Colombian churches, or Google stuff. And it's like, whoa, there's 8,000 people gathering on a Sunday in Bogota, Colombia. And you see in Spain and in Korea and Philippines, it's so easy to get this like America is where Christianity is happening kind of idea. It's probably what I thought when I was 12 years old or something. And so to think that my songs are becoming prayers in other languages and across the world, and just this idea of like, wow, God, you're so huge, that the way I have a personal relationship with God, I feel like he speaks to me and his grace is interwoven in situations. And I see his hand moving. And I look back over the last 5, 10, 15, even the last year, like, wow, you were working something so cool in that, to think that that's every human. And that every human out there, even the ones I don't agree with, like, you know, the politicians, the people in power, the one I think that are you know, all of them need Jesus. All of them are in this place of like, they need to kneel before the cross and say, I need you. It's crazy, because sometimes they become caricatures in my mind, you know? Tom Cruise is a caricature in my mind. He's almost not even a real person. Do you know what I mean? He's a guy in Mission Impossible movies. But Tom Cruise needs Jesus. The leader of North Korea needs Jesus. I mean, he's someone that Jesus has died for. Putin needs Jesus. My first grade teacher needs, it's not just my little world here. It's like, it's amazing that for God so loved the world, you know, that he gave his only son. So all that being said, that's a big answer that I went crazy with, but it's amazing to see the songs be globally used.
A lot of people don't know this, but Phil Wickham's subtitle under his name is Songwriting Machine. the close friends call him SWM, Songwriting Machine. What inspires you? Is it that book you just held up of the great Bible stories? Is it a Sherlock Holmes novel? Is it a TV show? Are you just constantly, is it churning and there's a notepad somewhere?
I think what inspires me, and this goes along with my personality, is knowing that, man, if the spirit is in this moment and we land on something that feels feels new enough that it's got something new to add to the world and a new and something fresh. Doesn't have to be brand new because nothing's new, but just a fresh prayer to add to the church and to people's hearts, whether it's my church community or beyond. The idea that like God has allowed me to be in a place and to be responsible for it. This idea that like if I write a song and it kind of checks the boxes and the Spirit is in it and God breathes in it, that it can actually be used by people to create their own prayers to God. And that's what I think songs are. It's prayers for me. For me, I would define them. That's what worship song is, as writing new prayers for the church to corporately say and sing together. And to think that there's these avenues open now where I can write a song that churches could hear it and be like, man, I want to do that. I want to make that a part of my community. Honestly, the fact that is very inspiring to me. And also I hold it in high regard and like a huge responsibility. And so at the same time, like when I write a song, I'm not thinking about, oh, will this work in the Philippines, you know, will this work in Korea? What I am thinking about is like with my home church, I go to a church called Light Church, and right now it's meeting. They just started meeting outside, you know, not in California. It can be a little strict here, but they just let people start meeting outside. But that's my kind of process. It's like, would I just be excited to put this on a set list for a Sunday morning if it was just me and a guitar? But kind of imagining where the song's potential can be, and what I feel like my church is going through, and maybe needs to sing to go along with what we're learning. That's what inspires me, is the usefulness, the potential usefulness of a song. And so then I'm calling one of my best friends is also the pastor of the church, and so I'm calling him. It's like, what does our church need to say to this time, you know? And that's very inspiring to me, having a goal of like, okay, that's what we're saying. I try every day to read I go through this journal called Lectio Divina, and it's really helped me become a more consistent everyday Bible reader and prayer, a person of prayer, because it gives you the scriptures to read for the day. I think usually Monday is a proverb, Tuesday is a gospel, Wednesday is an Old Testament, that kind of thing. And sometimes it's two verses, sometimes it's two chapters, but you read it, you're supposed to read it three times, pray it into your heart, write down the phrases and ideas that really feel, if just for some reason have jumped out the pages at you, you know, maybe you're reading about Jesus at the well with the woman, and you're just thinking of like, wow, Jesus really went out of his way to meet this woman. And so I'm like, wow, Jesus goes out of his way for people to meet them where they're at. You know, you're writing stuff down and you're reading it again. And at the end, you write down a prayer with what you've just gone on to. So like, Jesus, help me to remember that you went out your way for me, and let that inspire me to respond to people like that, and not just see the barista as someone that's going to get me coffee, but as a human that might need encouragement today. And let me see the person next to me at the gas station, you know, all that stuff. Just let me be more aware, just as you are constantly aware of people. And so that, I mean, the scriptures and then serving my church community, that would be the quick answer.
Thank you for getting me into Second Chronicles recently. I feel like I forgot the story of Jehoshaphat, so it was great to go back and read that and see where your new song comes from. So you inspired me to get into the Word for that very particular story. I love that about you. I had a very spirited conversation with someone that you are collaborating with right now by the name of Brandon Lake. I love that you two have connected and you're doing something together. Who's still on the list? It feels like you've collaborated a lot. Who's still on that list that is the golden goose that you're still reaching for, possibly?
Yeah, I don't think maybe back in the day, I thought, man, it'd be cool to hang out with him or her. I hope this doesn't sound weird or cocky or anything, but anybody that wants to get in a room and has a platform for the songs to be heard and reach people, I'm pumped about. Whether that's actually just, I'm getting a writing session together with a woman named Christine DeClario, and she's not super well known in America, but she's got like 2 million followers on Instagram, and she's like the premier. She's kind of like, in no way are they alike other than the fact that she's kind of like the Chris Tomlin of the Latin world. You know, she's just like one, like the older sister of all the worship leaders, just have been around a little bit longer and faithful and just is very influential in that world. And they reached out and asked if we could write a song. And like in Spanish, they're like, well, we'll figure it out. I'm like, okay, well, I don't speak Spanish. But so I'm so excited about that. And that's a new world, a new place for me to be in. You know who I haven't written it with yet? And we've been texting, and he's now out in Southern California. But ever since I was young, you know, and we're close to the same age. So we've kind of grown up doing it. But Joel Houston from United, I mean, he's such an artist, and he's written so many great songs and been a part of so many songs. And you could just tell in his lyrics that he digs deeper and is not afraid to say something in a new way and go out on a limb. And those are fun people to be in the room with and to be texting with, because sometimes you can get in a rut of saying things a certain way or maybe even being too safe. You're like, I don't know if my church would sing that, or I don't know if that'll work. And I love being in the room with guys who are like, just go for it. You know, like, that lights my heart up. And so yeah, we've been connecting. He's only 60 miles away from me now, so we got to get together.
Do I remember a story where you had to be silent for a month?
Yeah, and now it feels like a dream, and I'm thankful for that, the lessons learned. But I had a polyp on my vocal cord. I was out on a tour. I was like 4 nights in, and I just felt worse and worse. I could barely sing through a couple songs. And the promoter, which is rare, because promoter is always like, the show must go on. But he was just like, man, I'm embarrassed for you. Like, you can't sing through the night. We'll cancel it. We'll reschedule. Go home, check it out. Had a polyp in my vocal cord, which means like, it's like a, it was an injury. I didn't realize I had ruptured a vein. And so it was kind of hemorrhaging on my vocal cord. And then like this blood clot happened, and then this cartilage, it's all gross words and stuff. But ultimately it's this like thing that's weighing down your vocal cord that gives you, it takes away the control. And so I was like trying to sing, and I just like, it was so weird. And I tried to be quiet for 2 weeks on steroids, totally silent, no talking, to see if it would go away at all. And it didn't. So they said, okay, that's surgery is the next step for you. Put me under, cut that thing out, grafted some new skin over it. And for it to work right, I guess it's very sensitive skin. And the idea is like no scarring, like you want it to heal perfectly. Any scarring won't vibrate correctly, and you'll feel it for the rest of your life when you sing. So I'm like, oh no. So the idea was, if this doesn't heal correctly, perfectly, then you'll have to change your life a little bit or a lot, depending on how, you know, because there's some guys that have done it and it just didn't turn out well, and they had to go into new careers even though they were singers before. So I did it totally silent. So many people praying for me. I was supposed to be quiet for 2 months, which is such a long time. No talking, no singing. And I went in for my 3-week checkup. Again, people from all over the world were praying, and there's so much encouragement and love. I just was overwhelmed. My 3-week checkup, the doctors checked it out, and I literally gasped like this. And they called other doctors in to double check. And they had said, Phil, if I didn't actually go into your throat and cut your vocal cord, I wouldn't know that you had a surgery. It's gone. Like, it's completely healed, which that was supposed to be a 2-month process. So I'm just thankful to God for that. And, started rehabbing. And so they had said 6 months at the minimum is when you'll be back on the road. And I was out on the road in 2. And so I was thankful for the speed of that. But at the same time, it didn't feel fast in the moment. And one of the biggest lessons I learned about myself was that, wow, I really depend on people telling me I do a good job. I really was depending on the approval of men, of people clapping, people saying good job, people saying, we love your voice. And I was thinking, man, what happens when I don't have this? Like, I find my worth in this, you know? And I realized really quick, I'd wrapped so much up in what people say and people think to kind of have my own view of me. And really God spoke in that time, just reminding me and telling me and helped me learn for the first time that I'm his child first and foremost. And so I carry that moment with me probably for the rest of my life. Just those huge lessons.
I cannot let you go without giving me a preview of the new record. How far along are you? You know, what's next? What are you cooking up?
12 new songs currently. Yeah, like you said, Battle Belongs is the first one out. And that was priority number one. When I started leading that, I actually led it for the first time out on a tour with Bethel last fall. And from the first time we led it, everybody got off stage and just said, man, like, there's something in that song, Phil, you know. At that first chorus, when I fight on my knees with my hands lifted high, and just the whole room, it's like 3,000 people. So 6,000 hands went up. It didn't feel like everybody was in it. The first chorus, and I was just blown away and just thought, man, I didn't realize maybe this song is more than I thought it was, you know? And And so that was priority number one to get that done. And so that one's done. And I think there's three more that are mixed. And then everything else is just in process. There's, everything's been started. There's one more vocal I need to sing. So we got a lot of the stuff that I need to get done is done. I kind of cast direction, get the demo into the producer's hands, sing the vocal. And then I'm kind of more like a kind of overseer of everything from then on. I would imagine in January, we'll put out another single. So we still have some time to get things ready, but every month, January, February, March, April, we'll probably put out a song. And then May, I would imagine the record comes out. And when you talk in those kind of terms, it feels so long, you know, like, I'm just like, oh, I have to wait till May. But the way time goes nowadays, I can't wait. But this new record is, I feel great. I felt great about all the records, and this one is no different. I just cannot wait to share it. I think there's some really, really special songs and special moments. And hopefully some more songs that are going to connect with churches around the world. That's the prayer.
I love that. And are you recording on the West Coast?
Kind of recording everywhere. That's been the unique thing about this record, you know, especially early on. I wasn't going to start it until about this time. I wasn't going to start it till June, July. But then my whole schedule freed up, like so many people. Thankfully, I just felt like God was pressing my heart, because I've been out on tour my whole life. It kind of feels like, you know, I've been chasing extra margin in my life for my whole life, you know, because it's just, I've always kind of filled up the schedule either enough or too much. Like either that's exactly what it should be or too much. I've never underfilled my schedule since I've been married, it feels like. And that's just what I always thought, you know, because from the beginning when I was just kind of scrapping around trying to pay rent, it's just, that was what I learned, is fill up the schedule as much as you can. That's the job. And then whatever's room for everything else in your life, you try to make it happen. And I was feeling that tension more and more and more and more. The more kids we had, the older I got. And granted, we were cutting back a little bit, but by the end of 2019, I was out on a Bethel tour for a month and a half, took like a week and a half off. Then I did this acoustic sing-along tour for 3 weeks. And then it was Thanksgiving. And then 3 days after Thanksgiving, I went on a Christmas tour for 2 weeks. So it was like this September to December 14th was like so busy. And in the middle of it, and my wife actually was so gracious, and it was great. And she was we're all thankful for the opportunities. But in the middle of it, I thought, man, 2020 is going to be a down year for me. I'm going to write. I'm going to record. So I didn't fill up my schedule too much, just a couple things here and there through the beginning of 2020. And so thankfully, there wasn't a ton of things to cancel, but a lot did cancel still. And so starting on the new record, I don't remember what you asked me. I'm way too long-winded on this answer. But so the record is done, and I mean, it's getting done, and I wasn't supposed to start it till later, but I started early. And oh, am I doing recording in California? Okay, let me give you a better answer.
Okay.
Some of the recording I'm doing in California, Corey. That's the answer. And then some, I've actually flown it to Nashville a few times and some stuff, but mostly, almost the whole record has been a remote recording. Like I make a demo in my little studio here, mm-hmm. send it to the producer. He works on it. He sends it to a drummer. The drummer plays on it, sends it back. The producer sends it to a bass player. So it's almost everything has been done in separate rooms at separate times. Isn't that crazy?
Phil, you have gotten me one step closer to episode 100. You are going to be somewhere in the ballpark of 92, 93, 94. I appreciate you. I love you to death. And I can't wait to hear what else you got up your sleeve.
Well, thanks, man. You're always so encouraging and kind. And I appreciate you having me on. And you guys stay safe out there.
When all I see is the battle, you see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on.
You've been listening to What Else with Corey Mann, part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. Production elements and voiceovers by audiblegenesis.com. Find complete podcast tools and production at audiblegenesis.com. Find this podcast and older episodes on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Hit the subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Leave a comment or review, tell a friend, and thank you for listening.